Episodes number 48 through 56 are encore presentations of some of the earlier shows. Here's why. Those early shows were full of foundational information, and I want to make sure you get a chance to hear them again. We're building a new life here, and the new foundation matters. If your reaction is to skip these encores, listen to this first. When you learn something new, 50% of it is gone from your awareness within an hour. That jumps to a loss of 70% within 24 hours, and 90% is lost within the week. Add to that that during the course of listening to something, your mind wanders a bunch of times. You hear something and your mind takes you on a little rabbit trail until you find yourself coming back to the show. All good. We all do it. Based on that, I'm willing to bet the next few episodes, though repeats, are going to feel brand spanking new to you. And isn't that awesome? Number 57 will be back to original content. So enjoy the shows. Okay, so. Hello, all you beautiful beings, and welcome to the show. I'm Lane Smith Brown, and this is episode number 28 of the Unleash Your Life podcast. And today we're going to have a talk about the language we use to predict our future experience and how our language pinpoints our power leaks. This is the Unleash Your Life podcast, where you're going to learn to rewild yourself. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I'm a best-selling author and rewilding guide. And over the last 20 years, I've been guiding women back to their truest selves. You see, you were born wild with all the wisdom you will ever need to navigate your life in a beautiful and powerful way. Then, just like everyone else on the planet, you got tamed, as you fell under the power and influence of others who were also tamed. All that taming you got as a kid has you convinced you are less powerful than you really are. I call all of that unconscious programming power leaks. And on this show, you're going to discover yours, and then you're going to choose to plug them so you can get back to the wild, wise, and powerful being that you are. So grab a coffee, glass of wine, or a favorite friend, or all three, and let's talk about what living your wild self can mean for you. All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming back. And thanks to those of you who are sharing these podcasts with your friends. We now have listeners from over 13 countries. And that's all through word of mouth. That's just crazy awesome. And I want to acknowledge those of you who are helping to get the word out. I trust you're feeling supported, understood, encouraged, and I love that you keep showing up. I've heard some listeners are doing a bit of a Russian roulette with the shows without the downside and just picking random podcasts and listening and then saying it was exactly what I needed to hear at the time. The universe is kind of amazing that way. So if you're up for it, give it a try. And on that note, let's give this show a spin and dive right in. All right. So you know from previous episodes that we are in constant communication with our subconscious mind, usually at an unconscious level, and that our subconscious mind is what is connected to the great collective consciousness that is out there floating around in the universe. Our power leaks get us more of what we don't want. That's why it's so important to find out what they are and what they're communicating on our behalf. We get clues all day, every day, about what's rambling around in our heads. While we're shopping, while we're making a meal, while we're sending ourselves off to sleep, or when we're trying to start a new habit like reading more or gossiping less. I've talked about how the collective consciousness wants to work with us to create the life we want. If you need a refresher, then hit episodes 4 and 11 again. Now, both those ideas, collective consciousness and the fact that we affect our experience based on our participation with it, are a combo of science and ancient wisdom. and not airy-fairy New Age mumbo-jumbo. I'm not making this up. These aren't my theories. I'm just reporting back what I've heard, what I've learned, and what my own experience has been. You're learning to be a critical thinker. So don't take my word for it. Do your own research. You are responsible for what you take in and what you choose to believe. So I've come to believe that we come from source energy. We are source energy. We've come with purpose and intent. And the fact that we even exist is a miracle beyond our understanding. And that one is covered in detail in episode 6. The way we communicate with the collective consciousness, source energy, goddess, the divine, is through our emotions or vibrations. Now, you might think we communicate with our words, and we get a lot of messages that that is true. If you've grown up in a religious family, you've likely been instructed to pray, and praying was usually something you said out loud. Affirmations are something you say out loud, and so is mantra or chanting. We communicate with that part of us that is non-physical is through the feelings attached to the words we use. So if you're praying or using affirmations to bring you money, but you're feeling all kinds of poverty and lack, what do you think the message is that you are sending out? Bring me money or bring me lack? Words are fine, but they need to be congruent with what you feel. What you feel is a result of what you think, and what you think is a result of what's playing in your subconscious ego mind. Let me give you some examples. When I say I can't figure something out, or I don't understand something, or something is confusing to me, or something is too difficult to comprehend, there is an emotional energy attached to all of those statements that is completely self-defeating. I'm predicting defeat. Trying to learn a new software program or comprehend a new theory will take longer, if I get it at all, because I'm sending out a message, energetically speaking, that I do not have the capacity to understand this thing. So, what do you think the chances are of me having an easy time assimilating this new information? When you start predicting success, you start changing the neural programming in a positive way. So you can get to, I can figure this out. I am smart enough to understand and follow the process. I am competent and capable. Now I'm using language that moves me into a positive outcome and solution. Now, as much as we speak of power leaks in this show and how we need to let them go, this process can be a really cool way to do that if you're consistent enough over time. Let's use another example. Let's say you find yourself in a group of strangers and you tell yourself you're lousy with names. Do you think you increase or decrease the chances of remembering by name the people that you meet? If you tell yourself your memory is going, or you'll keep forgetting things, or you're absent-minded, what are the chances of you remembering what's on your grocery list that you accidentally left on the kitchen counter before you headed out the door? If you're drawing attention to any of your aches and pains and declaring that your body is aging or not as good as it used to be or failing you in some tangible way, what are the chances of you suddenly jumping out of bed in the morning ready to take on the day with a certain joie de vivre? What if you take in the news and then share that awfulness that you find there with others? A litany of all that has gone wrong in the world and not a moment of what's gone right. It's all doom and gloom, Reports of corruption and wrongdoings, no mention of the kindness of strangers, the cool inventions that are solving problems, the good companies that are treating both customers and staff with integrity and care. All of the unthoughtful language we use creates an energetic signal from this limited physical representation of you and me to the non-physical part of us that is connected to the universe, or whatever you choose to call this mystery, that seems to interact with us with a clear level of intention. That is, if you've ever taken the time to play with it. It's an enormous amount of energy that we have access to, and we often give little regard to the instructions we give it. It has no will of its own. It has no agenda. There is no mystical, magical path that you're supposed to be on. There is just this energy source that wants to aid you and me in living the life we desire, the life we intended to experience. That's quite difficult to quantify if you haven't had the experience. Some find the universe incredibly predictable. They've mastered their connection and vibration on many levels. I still find it a bit nebulous at times in certain areas, but less so the more I learn to play. I know with certainty that the outcome is based on what I believe and what my expectations are as a result of that belief. Does that make sense? Can you see why you need to get rid of those unhelpful beliefs in order to change direction? If I'm feeling insecure, it will send me more things to feel insecure about. When I'm feeling powerful, it will send me more things that show me the truth of that power. When I emphasize my supposed weaknesses like poor memory or impatience, it sends experiences that prove the stories I'm telling. Our surroundings are constantly feeding us the information that is still playing in our subconscious and keeping us stuck in the past. You can look at your relationships and see quite plainly what you believe you're worth. Are you worth an endless stream of one-night stands or an unfulfilling relationship after another unfulfilling relationship without ever giving yourself a chance to breathe, evaluate, or regroup? I mean, no judgment on sex for pleasure. I'm just wanting you to connect to why you do the things you do. Are you in your power, or are you giving your power away? Your relationship with relationships could look like years of isolation and not trusting anyone to get inside for the long run because of some sort of shame or inadequacy built on a lie. All lies, all misunderstandings stuck in your unconscious mind. Perhaps you find yourself in unfulfilling, unchallenging, or non-collaborative unions because, again, there's an underlying feeling that that is all you deserve. You can play this game with money, too. There's lots of overlap. I thought money would always be elusive until I realized that money is pure energy and comes and goes based on how I interact with that energy. It can show up as abundance and opportunity just as easily as poverty and lack. It just depends on the vibes I'm sending out. And those vibes are a result of what I believe to be true. Notice I didn't say truth, capital T truth. I said what I believe to be true. Our relationships with ourselves, others, and money can be tied to our DNA. Just as much as health issues can. Last I heard, they can measure some of this stuff back more than 10 generations. I have no clue how they measure this stuff, but it's in psychological journals, so I'm going to trust that they've vetted it in some way. All of it is just long-held beliefs that there is something about our lives that is predestined. Some of us are called to break that cycle. Part of my personal work this round is to end the cycle of subservient women and poverty as a means to validate a godly life. That's not all of it, but I can see how those two ideas wreaked havoc on my ancestors. And if I can end the pattern, I would consider my life well lived. Aren't you curious what was in our subconscious before our minds got filled with all the unchosen, unfiltered, unchallenged shit we inherited from the ones who raised us, whose subconscious were filled with just as much of their own unchosen, unfiltered, unchallenged shit? As you're listening to this, what's bubbling to the surface? Are you here to end abuse or feelings of unworthiness? Are you here to end violence or pain or unhealthy relationships? Are you here to turn traditional ideas of sexuality on its head? Look, I was raised with one option. I was female, and the only option for a relationship was to be with a male. Straight and heterosexual. No other options. I tried it, didn't like it, didn't understand why, heaped all kinds of judgment on myself as a result. That's how completely disconnected I was from myself. I didn't struggle with my sexuality. There was no torment that I was living a lie. I never entertained the option because I didn't understand there was an option. I was in my late 30s before I figured it out. And when I did, it made my whole life make sense. All the judgment disappeared and acceptance came flooding in. And gay, straight, that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the sexual spectrum. But that's too much for this particular show. Can you hear clues in your language that betray what's really playing in your background? Do you expect life to disappoint you, or is life a magical place? Perhaps you're somewhere in the middle of all of that. Can you see how that mirrors what you were taught about life from someone who had influence on you growing up? What do you expect of yourself? What are you capable of? Will you rise or fall when presented with a challenge? Can you hear someone's voice in your head that betrays where you got that belief or attitude from? Did somebody embody an example of behavior, good or bad, that you now emulate without even thinking about it? It's just completely natural. Is change easy or hard? Is it to be avoided or to be embraced? What's your first reaction? And does your life prove out that belief that you have? Did you come up with that belief on your own, or did you learn it early on? You can't undo the stuff that happened to you growing up and all the stuff that was unwanted, unwarranted, and unfair. But you can change the message that those situations left in your body and your mind. All that stuff can be transformed into a fuel that propels you to live the life you came to live. If you're still stuck in needing to use those experiences as a reason why you can't change, well, then this won't be what you want to hear. But for everyone who had a crap experience, there are those who use it to move them forward and those that use it to keep themselves stuck. Which one are you? So we started this show talking about how our feelings are how we communicate our desires to the collective consciousness. Our feelings are the residue of what we think. What we think is what we learned to believe before we were capable of any critical thinking. If you've got stuff floating around in your subconscious that you did not deliberately choose, it is affecting your life. Some of that is helpful, and most of it is not. So now that you know there is a link between what you think to how we feel to what we create. Can you see how important it is to curate your language and your thoughts? Can you see the value of learning to uncover the opinions floating around in your subconscious that you didn't deliberately choose, but you're still acting as if they're true? Like there's only one option. There are millions of options available to you. Does that scare you or excite you? Do you like living inside of the conformity where your choices are limited and the path is clear and simple? Or do you want to get your hands dirty exploring this gorgeous life you've been given? Can you see why just shrugging your shoulders in this moment is the surest way for everything in your life to stay exactly the same? Do you believe you have stuff playing inside your head that is holding you back, causing you to repeat unwanted behaviors and situations over and over and over again? Same job, different address. Same relationship, different face. Same amount of money, different bank. You get me? Can you see how you are creating your life all of the time? But if you're not doing it with intention, you're doing it by accident. And the results aren't what you came here for. What do you say to using this power for good? Or better yet, great. Where do you begin? You begin by picking the direction you want to go. And you take a good, hard look at what you think is standing in your way. Then you look at what you think is standing in your way, and you take a good, hard look at why you believe that that obstacle exists. You need to become the person who decides what you believe so that you can believe things that serve you better. Look, did you learn to ride a bike or walk when you were young? Or to tie your shoelaces or eat a sandwich without forgetting to chew? Do you get how incredibly difficult those things were to learn at that age? There's a good chance you had someone standing by you that believed you could learn the skill. You tried and you failed. And you tried again and you failed again and you tried some more and then you began to catch on and do a little better. And you kept trying and you kept improving until one day you stopped choking on the sandwich, drove your bike to the 7-Eleven, navigated the whole length of the living room without tripping on your feet, and tied your shoelaces without thinking about crossing one bunny ear over the other. If you don't believe you can create a better experience, you won't. This shit doesn't happen by accident. It happens by choice. If you don't believe your relationships can get better or be better, they won't. If you don't believe your opportunities can improve, they won't. If you don't believe your money situation can improve, it won't. What do you want to believe about yourself and your life going forward? How much time and effort are you willing to spend changing what's playing in the background so you can get there? Big questions, but they need to be answered, or you're just passing time getting through your life. You're drifting. So what does your life look like then, 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now? Is this pissing you off? Or can you appreciate the push? You know, I've got big plans for us, right? You know, my desire is to build a community of women who are so deeply connected to their power that they're going to move mountains together. Together, we're going to figure out what that looks like. And to be part of that means you've got to get to work. The more you know, the more you'll be able to lead. And we're going to need leaders. There's links to more guidance in the show notes or on the Weird Hummingbirds website, if you're ready to dig in. What did you just tell yourself about that? What was the first thought that went through your head? Are you ready? Or are you too scared of what you'll find? Do you love the excuses you're holding on to? Or do you know you need to move on? Do you want to lead your life? Or do you want to stay comfy in the background, letting all of your unconscious conditionings run the show? We do this work so that we can fill up on our authentic power, so we can share that power with those who need it. We need more women following their passion and purpose and living out their dreams. You're part of a powerful and growing minority, and we're getting stronger and stronger the more we do this work. Well, that got me all revved up. How about you? Watch your language for a while, okay? Get clear on what's floating around in your subconscious and decide if you want to keep it or let it go. Then decide if you want to go it alone or in the company of others on a similar journey. I know I want the company, and I'd love it if you came along. That's it for today. Thanks again for being here. I love that you stayed until the end, and I love that you keep coming back. Meet me back here for another conversation next time, and until then, stay weird. Stay curious, keep popping the corks, and plug in your power leaks. Ta for now. Well, I hope this show rocked your world a little bit. If you want additional resources, check out the links in the show notes or at lanesmithbrown.com. And before you go, please subscribe to this podcast. It's how we get these tools into the world. And this world needs more wild women standing in their authentic power. Do that for me, will ya? Thank you.